All right, well, today, guys, we are definitely going to take a little bit of break from the prophets, and I'm kind of going to share a little bit of my own Bible study story, just kind of what I've gone through and what has helped me, and I'm just kind of hoping that some of the things that I've maybe gone through or have done might encourage and help you guys in your own Bible study journey, and also possibly help you kind of relate to, somebody that might be closer to my age or our age group. So anyway, so basic discussion about Bible study. So first off, why study the Bible? How can I study the Bible? Is it better for me to study a Christian book about the Bible written by a professional Christian or to study the scriptures for myself? Personally, I never really got into doing too much reading based on doing like a Bible study, Christian book type Bible study. Or even something that's packet-based or with more fill-in-the-blank style questions. And I'm not really saying that those types of things are wrong. I think they can be, supplemental to studying the Bible, but they for sure can't replace being a Berean. When we first started this conference, there were some verses on one of the pages in the packet, and one of those is Acts 17:11, which says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." So just a quick little snippet on kind of what makes up Bible study would be asking some questions. So first off, and if somebody wants to answer, they can, or I can give the answer either way. What was it that the Bereans examined? What do you guys think? Scripture, exactly. And what was their attitude in doing that? They were eager. They wanted to look into it. So, and then what was their goal in doing that? What do you think their goal was? What does the verse say? I'm sorry? I think it was to identify what the truth was, which I think Bible study is mainly, that's the main purpose of it, is to identify what the truth is and basically figure out how that can be played out in our own personal lives. So, again, just going to stay in line with the title of my devotional and share a little bit about my own Bible study story. So, at a pretty young elementary school age, my best buddy's dad started a Bible study with about seven of us. Our group got together each school year until we graduated. We took the summers off, but we did go through each year during the school year. I learned some valuable lessons, things like how to have a quiet time, how to apply the scriptures to daily life, how to memorize scripture, and even learning how to study the Bible a little bit by going through a Proverbs fill-in-the-blank type study. But the fun nights were what I really looked forward to. A fun night was where we would meet at my buddy's house and basically just go out and play the whole time, go play hide and seek, mess around, play video games, stuff like that. And during the actual Bible study, I remember kind of checking the clock quite frequently and kind of waiting for it to get over with so we could go eat treats and mess around. I remember it being a Bible study where our leader would take us through the material, and there would be some pre-written questions written by the author of the study that we would try and go through and answer, and he'd kind of mediate that for us. So, needless to say, to me, there were times where it seemed very, very dry and boring. Once our study was up, that's when the real fun started. The following are kind of some rhetorical questions, but just might help add a little reflection into a little bit of what I'm trying to talk about here. It says, have you ever been in a Bible study where you watched the clock? Or maybe you're watching the clock right now. I remember doing this clock watching quite frequently while I was in church as well. That was one thing. I would always try and grab my dad's watch and, try and see what time it was so we could get out and maybe go to maybe Amigos or something, which is a restaurant up in North Nebraska. So, anyway, were those types of Bible studies or services interactive, or was it lecture? Do you recall the audience having a chance to ask questions? Was your mind engaged in what was being said, or did it seem mundane or maybe even irrelevant to you? I think having the chance to ask questions and interact is extremely important. We get to do that here out at this conference, and so if at any time you have any questions while I'm going through this little devotional, feel free to stop me and go ahead and ask the question. So anyway, I'd like to suggest that most of the time, a Bible study or a church service seems dry, boring, or irrelevant, it's probably mostly due to the fact that our minds aren't engaged. We really aren't thinking. Or we just plain don't see the benefit to it. We might be passively listening, or maybe not even listening at all. Basically, it seems like to me that we all like to be entertained. We like to be able to flip on the television, turn off the mind, and just kind of sit back and be entertained. Go ahead. Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about passive listening?
Yeah, I think passive listening, I would say it's something that is important to passively listen to what is being said, but I would say passive listening would be different than just kind of sitting there and kind of zoning out, in a sense. Passive listening, I think you can still internalize what's going on, take it for what it's worth, and try and make application in your own life and figure out how it works for you, or to think about what the scripture's saying. But I think, for example, sitting there and after a while, the mind starts to wander, and then you're thinking about, oh, are the Huskers going to get beat by 10 or 20 today? Or no, are they going to win or whatever? You know, I think the line kind of, you cross over into non-attention after a bit. So passive listening is valid. It's hard to always do if you don't have the opportunity to ask some questions. If the pastor or Bible study doesn't entertain us like a television set does, I think we kind of tend to get bored a little bit. But personally, my own outlook started to change when a man named Lance came to a Bible study that my buddy's dad led. We had been away at college for a year, so this has been quite a few years down the road from when we first started. He was asking attention-grabbing questions that had to do with obedience. We had talked about obeying God before, but something was a little bit different about this. This was the first time I remember hearing about the importance of obedience and the emphasis that God placed on it. I may have heard it prior to this study, maybe in passing or through parents or something like that, but didn't really give it too much thought. I didn't truly understand the emphasis that the scriptures placed on it. I understood that God wanted me to obey, but didn't fully understand why. So Lance asked some questions, and I remember trying to answer them, but I could never really get a straightforward answer or response back from him. It seemed like he was intentionally avoiding giving me the answer. And looking back, I'm pretty sure he was wanting me to think through the issue for myself and not just give me that easy answer. This was basically my first exposure to not getting a more clear-cut, black-and-white answer regarding a biblical question. It always seemed pretty clear and didn't really take too much thought. It was just kind of almost taken for granted, I guess. I was forced to think. It wasn't just an obvious fill-in-the-blank style question. A little while later, the same thing happened at a Bible study that my dad led for my brother and a group of friends that were in my brother's age group, which they're just 2 years younger than I am. My dad invited me to go to this study, and I remembered not really wanting to go. But then my dad did make it clear. He's like, yeah, you weren't too privy to the idea of going again to that study. Again, this was the one where Lance had came to the study, and the topic was, again, obedience. The whole obedience idea, whether or not it was important and what it looked like, were some of the things that we discussed. And one of the practical questions that I had that I just was kind of thinking about even at that prior study, a few months before, I can't remember how long it was, but was, you know, is it okay to drive 59 in a 55-mile-per-hour zone when you know you're not going to get pulled over? I mean, that was something for me. I don't know why, but it just was bugging me. And I didn't really have a clear answer to that question even still after the end of this second study that Lance had come to talk at. So these two separate Bible studies, I think, were kind of the starting point in changing my outlook on the importance of Bible study itself. But I don't think it's important. Really, truly, fully resonated with me at that time. I continued on with my second year of college and really didn't give it too much thought. I continued to have some quiet times where I'd spend a few minutes maybe reading the Bible, writing down maybe an application or two, but nothing really too strenuous. I was kind of more interested in getting the school thing taken care of, getting good grades, And one of the main things was trying to get a scholarship to a four-year university to play baseball. That was kind of the main thing that I was at this two-year college for. The obedience idea was still there, but it kind of faded in the background. And I even remember doing something and thinking beforehand that I could do it and God would just forgive me later. So I just went ahead and did it. I ended up not really getting that baseball scholarship I was looking for. So in the fall of 2007, I attended the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, which was a little closer to home. And I guess it was just kind of like God was setting a trap for me. being closer to home, Lance invited my brother and I to go out to the Lost Valley Men's Retreat, which is very similar to this one, but it's in Colorado. And that was in 2008 that conference was. And I remember not really wanting to go, but by God's grace, I decided I would. So on the car ride out to Denver, Lance and a man named Bruce were asking me some questions to kind of get a feel for where I was at spiritually. When we got to the ranch, we ate lunch, and then Lance and some of the other men that had come out in the Nebraska caravan, as well as some of the other men that were coming from some different areas of the country, got together around the fireplace in the dining area to do a Bible study on 1 John with Walt Hendrickson. That study at the fireplace was something that I had never seen before. Before the study, I had read through the passage and to try and get an idea of what they were going to be talking about. But they were talking about things like Gnosticism, and I didn't remember seeing that in there, so I'm pretty sure they were all just a bunch of heretics. But somebody would ask a question, and somebody would try and answer. And on some occasions, the person that asked the question would give his take. Their answers to the questions and their discussions were mentally intense to the point that I was just trying to keep up with what they were talking about. My head couldn't handle all that thinking. It kind of felt like what I felt like after I got done taking the four-hour ACT college entrance exam, where you're just kind of in a daze and, I don't know, can't really do much. So, but right then and there, I knew that I wanted to be able to do what those men had done and what they were doing. Being able to see firsthand the thoughtfulness and the depth with which they were examining the scriptures really, really impacted me. How they could get that much out of the text was amazing. After the study, the conference started, and it provided more reaffirmation to me. I saw many men who were serious about their relationship with Christ. And at the conference, one of the first speakers said something like this: one or two out of five of you will make it as a Christian. So right then and there, I resolved to do whatever it took to be one of the few that finished the race of life well as a Christian. I didn't want to be one that failed to persevere, that deluded himself, and ended up in hell. It may have been partly due to my competitive nature that I made that resolution, but I really think the Holy Spirit was getting a hold of me and allowing me to hear that point clearly and to convict me to do whatever it took to be one that made it. There were many other great aspects of that first Lost Valley retreat, like the cabin discussions, like we get to do here, which is, I think, a great advantage and benefit to these conferences. It gave me the opportunity to ask them some questions and gave us the opportunity to discuss what the speakers were talking about. Another huge benefit to the conference was it allowed me to see men in their latter years of life that were finishing the race of life well, guys that I could model my own life after. And if in your Bibles, if you turn to Hebrews 13:7, if you've got one, I think it's a good verse that kind of speaks to that idea of modeling and the importance that it can play in our Bible study, our own personal Bible study journeys and our walks with the Lord. So Hebrews 13:7 in the NASB says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." So there were these men out here that I was seeing that I could model my life after, and we've all got men here that we can do that with as well, or the men that we see that are getting up here to speak, they're just great guys, latch on and imitate them. In the car ride home, or either in the car ride out there, I couldn't quite remember, Lance had emphasized that it was important to find someone who'd be willing to teach me and to help me grow in my spiritual walk. Bruce, one of the other guys on that car ride out there, was he was part of that Nebraska caravan of guys that went out there. And after we had got home and got out of the vehicles in Lincoln, I asked Bruce if he would be willing to lead me in a Bible study. It didn't take long, and Bruce started meeting with me and a couple other guys. We started slowly with learning the verse analysis method. The emphasis was on asking questions at that time, not so much on answering all the questions that we had. Since those early studies, I've learned that asking the right questions is an essential part of studying the Scriptures. If we just gloss over the text and don't ask the right questions, we'll miss out on a lot of what the author wanted to communicate, because it's very easy to skip over things and read over and miss them. And if you're interested in learning to do more of an in-depth Bible study, or if you're interested in learning some guy or teaching some guys that maybe would have been more in my shoes that are younger and haven't had much exposure to it, that verse analysis method is a great place to start. And there's even a book called Studying, Interpreting, and Applying the Bible by Walt Hendrickson and Gail Jackson that demonstrates that method. And I think I saw at least one copy over there on the back table, but it does outline that verse analysis method. So I was hooked on Bible study. Lance had given me many of Walt's talks from the conferences he had spoken at over the years, so I listened to those when I was running or driving. Lance and Bruce also gave me some books to read, and I actually enjoyed reading them. Bible study was even exciting, and I looked forward to our studies. They were unlike the studies that I had done before in the past, and not like any that I had really seen besides the one out there at that Lost Valley retreat around the fireplace. And I think it was mainly due to the fact that my mind was now engaged. In some of those books that I was given, I read about men like Dawson Trotman, who is the founder of the Navigators, Hudson Taylor, who is the founder of the China Inland Mission, books like Disciples Are Made Not Born by Walt Hendrickson, The Insider by Mark Shamey and Jim Peterson, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and others. One of those books talked about prayer and said something about the importance of spending at least 30 minutes daily in prayer. I may have misunderstood the author's point, but I determined that I was going to spend at least 30 minutes a day praying. I determined to make that a habit in my life. In the book about Hudson Taylor, the author made the point that Hudson was one that read his Bible regularly. I think he read it a ton of years in a row just going through the Bible. I'm not sure exactly how many years it was, but it was a lot. So praying and reading the Bible eventually became habits for me. I even remember not feeling too good about it if I didn't spend time reading my Bible or praying. So I was now reading the Bible regularly, praying, and attending Bible study. In preparation for study at this time was basically just writing or typing out some questions and then about a verse or a passage and kind of bringing them up in study to raise for the group to talk about. I spent just a little bit of time looking up cross-references and trying to answer some of the questions, but really not a whole lot of time at that point in my own Bible study journey. In talking with Bruce at one of those studies or just in conversation, an issue came up where I said something like, Lance is just a Bible study genius. And then good old Bruce was quick to point out that it wasn't that Lance was just a genius, but that he puts in the time, and not just a little time, but tons of time, studying the Bible. Eventually, I figured that if I wanted to be able to get to a point where I could learn and understand the Scriptures, to the point that those men at that First John study did out at that conference, I would have to put in the time. I determined to do Bible study to the extent that I knew how for 1 hour a day. It wasn't easy to do that, and I was limited in what I knew about how to do Bible study at that time. But I was determined to do it, and by God's grace, kept doing it. I actually marked down the day on a little calendar in my phone, and I started doing this did my best to not break the streak of days that I had spent that hour in Bible study. The more days that went by, the easier it became to do it. It basically became a habit. After doing that for a while, it was clear that I'd have to do something other than typing out questions, looking up a few cross-references, and taking a few stabs at answering the questions myself if I was going to progress in studying the Bible. And one tool that has really helped me greatly in progressing in Bible study is Bible study computer software. And being in my generation, you know, it was kind of a welcome thought to not have to write stuff out on paper. So I started out using a free Bible study software that Bruce had shown me, and it's called eSword, and it's still available for free download on the web today. It allowed me to bring up cross-references quickly and easily and to see a verse right next to itself in some of the different versions of the Bible. The software I now use is the Logos Original Languages package. It isn't free like eSword, but it has some extra features that really allow you to dig in deep into the passage and look well below just kind of skin level or skin depth in terms of what the passage is saying. It allows us to look up the Greek words behind the English word, and that can be very profitable. And I personally don't dig very deep into the Greek words since I don't really know all that much about Greek and the language and how it all works. But it does allow me to see the word's basic grammatical information, like whether it's a verb or a noun, or it's in the past, present, or future tense. I can also quickly search for all the occurrences of that Greek word or English word in the Bible, in either just a passage, a couple chapters, just a verse or a few verses, or the entire Bible. It displays the verses that these words show up in, the verses the words show up in, and allows me to see how it's used within its context in those other passages, which, when studying a certain passage, can help us in understanding how the author uses it in that case. And things like Bible study software give us the opportunity to study the Bible in ways that even seminary graduates couldn't 20 years ago. We no longer need multiple paper books open or to laboriously look for cross-references. We literally have that information at our fingertips and can access it within seconds. Another simple tool that I found helpful in Bible study is just a basic Microsoft Word document. It allows me to put everything that I would do on paper into a single area or single format, and it can be very easily edited, changed, or accessed. I can save all of the Bible studies that I go through, keep them organized, and access them with relative ease. And if you would, there's another passage here. It's Luke 6, 39 and 40. If you turn in your Bibles to that. It's Luke 6, 39 through 40. And it says, starting in verse 39, "And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher." So in my case, Lance had mentored Bruce, Bruce had mentored me, and then eventually Lance became my teacher. Both of these men read commentaries. So as Luke says, we will be like our teacher, I also began to read them. Reading commentaries was very difficult at first, and it still is at times, but a good commentary allows me to see the different interpretations of a text from different viewpoints. There have been many instances when these commentaries raise questions or issues that I would have never thought up on my own. However, it is very important to not just believe everything the author of the commentary writes. If you're going to read commentaries, you must practice that Acts 17:11. You must be a Berean. Always read the scriptures like a newspaper and let the text make its case, like Walt has pointed out in the past. Thinking through these commentaries and trying to understand what the author is saying about the biblical text has really helped me advance in my own thinking and Bible study skills. The language or wording they use can be very confusing, but it forces me to think more critically. I get to take what other people have said, most of whom are much more gifted and better thinkers than I am, and make my own determination about what the biblical author is saying. Reading them also helps me begin to understand why, I agree or disagree with what they say in the commentary, which can be very beneficial. So needless to say, I think commentaries are beneficial in doing Bible study. One thing that I didn't mention is that I really don't like to read. I don't particularly enjoy reading. It's not something that I like to do in my spare time. But I have heard it said that as a Christian, there's only one book that we need to master, and that's the Bible. And this is great news for somebody like me who doesn't like to read. In my mind, anything that could help me learn the Bible is something that I would consider reading. In trying to understand the scriptures, I personally didn't see much value in reading mainstream Christian books, at least most of that you'd get at the local Christian bookstore. And since I don't like to read, I don't read books unless there's a very high likelihood that they'll have a substantially positive impact on my relationship and walk with Christ. If it isn't going to substantially help me understand the Bible, I personally don't see a whole lot of benefit in reading it and would rather spend my time reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and those sorts of things. That's not to say that there can't be a benefit to reading Christian books, because I know a lot of people do benefit from reading them. So there may be a great benefit for somebody with reading those books. But since I don't like to read, I wanted to spend my reading time on what I think would provide the greatest benefit in my walk with Christ. The commentary was a type of book about the Bible that, to me, it made sense to read. However, I do know that commentaries are sometimes viewed in a negative light by laymen because there's a tendency for us to believe nearly everything the author writes. And I want to be clear, there are definitely dangers in reading them, but there are also great benefits. With the help of the Holy Spirit and a well-trained mentor who can guide you, I think reading commentaries can be extremely profitable. I know I personally get stuck while reading or studying the Bible and trying to determine the meaning of a passage. But men much smarter and more gifted than I have spent many, many hours in pouring over these same passages that I'm having trouble with. To me, it seems silly to not even look at the ideas that they lay out in their commentary. They may be way off, or they may be spot on. The author's views, but I've tried to view what the author of the commentary says as a springboard that helps me in my own understanding of what the biblical author is saying. And I've mentioned a little bit about mainstream Christian books and the fact that I don't enjoy reading. I think not liking to read could be one of the reasons that I didn't get involved in Bible studies that consisted in reading a mainstream Christian book or consisted of a packet or fill-in-the-blank style study. I personally would rather turn on the TV and watch SportsCenter or a Nebraska football game than crack open a book. Definitely not a book to read for enjoyment or the one that I don't see there being a good chance. It'll give me a high spiritual return on investment. I don't think doing a type of Christian book Bible study was something that it really even crossed my mind to do as something that I really wanted to do. For some reason, studying the Bible in this new way that I had seen at Lost Valley was different. Looking back on it, I didn't have to look anywhere other than the Bible for instruction about love or other biblical topics that are so commonly written about in the mainstream Christian books. Another reason that I think I didn't get involved in a Bible study where the group just goes through a Christian book was that by God's grace, He brought men into my life who studied the Scriptures. These men had received help from other men and then helped me. To me, that demonstrates the important role that Bible study has in our being obedient to the making disciples aspect of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20. And another verse that I think kind of hits the nail on the head is Titus 1:9. And it says, "He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." And I guess I'll stop for a second. Does anybody have any questions going through this? Yes, Art?
True. At what point in your study do you bring a commentary in?
Basically, the way that I've done it is I go through the passage, read through the chapter, obviously, and go through and ask all the questions that I possibly can on each one of the verses. Then I will go through and I actually start going through commentaries pretty early to help stimulate my thinking. And then at that point, reading through the commentaries, I really like to go through and pick through what they say, if it seems right, if it seems wrong. I can ask a spiritual mentor to kind of shed some light on that issue. And then I'll also kind of all at the same time go through trying to formulate my own answer to the questions. So, but I do go, and I know that's probably different than what some guys do. They go through and answer them all themselves and then go through and read the commentary. I do it just a tad bit different, but that's just a personal choice and preference. Yes, Lex? I think that the main thing that, or main reason that I wasn't engaged was just the format of the Bible study itself and the format of going there and sitting in church and listening and probably not really doing a great job of passively listening while still internalizing it and trying to apply it and things like that. I just kind of, like I brought up, if it didn't kind of entertain me a little bit, I probably didn't give it too much thought. So once I started actually getting more into looking at the actual verses themselves and asking questions about the verses and trying to answer those questions and talking about them in a Bible study, that's when it really started to change for me. It wasn't just a question that some other author had written that he was wanting me to come to an answer to, which it's, again, not a bad thing. But to me, it just didn't keep my mind involved. I could fill out the answer, you know, pretty quickly in some occasions and not really have to think about it too much. Yes?
Are you able to now look for some younger guys for yourself to do what Lance has done for you?
Yeah, it's definitely a process. You know, there's but it's still not easy trying to convince somebody to want to do something like this because it is work. It's not easy by any means. It takes work.
I want to make one more comment, too. When you went back to your question about 55 to 59 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
It's been scientifically proven that the last part of the human body to be the sanctification process is the right foot.
Yes. Yeah. It's Mike. Yeah, you know, and that's one thing, thinking back, you know, when I was in elementary school, I mean, the study that we started out doing, I mean, it was a fill-in-the-blank study, and I think, you know, you kind of have to start somewhere. So I wouldn't be against if somebody's really young like that, you know, going through more of a kind of a fill-in-the-blank study, because you've got to start somewhere. I mean, you can't just start going in-depth right away. But I think I probably would have wanted myself to transition a little bit sooner into actually doing more of the asking our own personal questions about a verse, about what that's saying. One of my buddies that was in the study, my best friend, it was a couple years ago, but he basically just told me, you know, every time I read the word brother in the Bible, I thought it was talking about my physical brother, my dad's son, you know, my blood brother. So, you know, didn't really even know that brother had a different meaning to it. So to me, looking back, I would have been, I guess, preferred to get more into asking our own questions about a verse and going through that than just doing a fill in the blank, you know, that's just my, I guess, personal preference. And that's what I would want to do with somebody that same age. Start them somewhere, but transition into something that is a little bit more interactive and engages the mind. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, you bet. I think, you know, that's more of the topical type Bible study, and I think that's also outlined a little bit in the book in the back there. But yes, that's, I think, you know, that's a way to get people more mentally involved if they're asking questions that are pertinent to them. And like you said, I would think it's very important to base your answers to those questions on what, like you said, finding the verse, looking at what it says, and then taking that application into the question, but not, you know, trying to read or to have a preconceived notion about what the answer is, going into the Bible and saying, you know, just seeing what it says. You know, we have to, I think, let this text make its case in our, you know, in our answer to those tough questions. But yeah, I agree. Yes. Yeah, and I think that's gets back to the whole point of Bible study. It's not that we try and make the person into something we think they should become, but to try and help that person become everything that they feel God wants them to become. So if they feel that God wants them to be doing fill-in-the-blank studies, I wouldn't have a problem with that. If they feel that God wants them to be looking at the verse and asking questions about the verse, then, you know, I think we help them in whatever they feel God wants them to be doing. So I guess then to me, it just made that verse, Titus 1:9, makes it clear that it's important to learn, to be able to teach others, and to biblically be able to refute others who oppose the truth if a situation would arise. If Bruce wouldn't have learned from Lance, he couldn't have taught me, encouraged me with sound doctrine, or have been able to scripturally refute incorrect thinking that came up in study. So along with providing me a spiritual mentor, early on, God placed me in one of those Titus 1:9 type situations. I was participating in a small group church Bible study in which we were going through a packet. There was a question in the packet that said, "Knowing all that we do about eternal security and the work of the Holy Spirit in us, why should we bother obeying God?" We spent quite a bit of time discussing the topic of assurance of salvation and whether or not you could know for 100% certainty that you were saved. Looking back, I think it's likely that God placed me in this situation to force me to clarify my own thinking on the assurance of salvation versus the fact of salvation, and to be able to scripturally defend that position, not just say which one I believed. I had to hold firmly to the trustworthy message I had been taught, and both encourage and refute some of the group with sound doctrine. He put me in a situation where I had to not only know what I believed and why I believed it, but also to be able to refute those who opposed it using Scripture. I've heard it said that you really don't know something until you can articulate it. This experience early on in my Bible study journey was an extremely valuable one for me. It forced me to be a Berean and to do Bible study, to find verses that provided support for my position or for the position of assurance of salvation, and verses that showed that the other position was unlikely. I had to be able to articulate the doctrine of assurance of salvation versus the fact of salvation. So looking back on that experience, I think God put me in the situation to reaffirm the importance of being able to do Titus 1:9, which in my opinion can only be done with training and Bible study. I also think this small group church Bible study may have been the nail in the coffin for me in terms of my involvement with packet or fill-in-the-blank type Bible studies. So, in closing, I'd like to touch on a few main principles that I've kind of talked about my personal Bible study. God didn't give me the baseball scholarship I wanted, and instead brought me to Lincoln, Nebraska. He brought events into my life that drew me to himself that weren't necessarily in line with my own plans. I am grateful that God orchestrated this in my life. As in Romans 8:28, God was and is in control. Point number two is I was invited along. My buddy's dad invited me to the study that Lance came to years down the road. My dad invited me to his study. Lance invited me out to Lost Valley Ranch and then eventually invited me to listen in on and eventually get involved in a study with Walt. Without these men inviting me or taking me along, I don't know where I'd be in terms of my relationship with Christ. If I wouldn't have been invited along and I was a betting man, I would put some money on the fact that I'd be in pursuit of the things that the world considers value and important. Things like money, wealth, and fame. Point number three, deep down in your soul, commit to training. Commit to being someone who makes it in the Christian life. Recognize that the attrition rate of Christians is very high, and do whatever you can to be someone that makes it, not one of the attrition. Even if you're like me and don't enjoy reading, find a Paul to help you learn how to study the Bible. Or, if you are a Paul, take that opportunity to help a Timothy learn how to study the Bible. I'd urge you to set aside a specific time to read and study the Bible. Walt has a great talk titled Commitment to Training, which can be downloaded off of one of the conference websites. If you're not sure how to do this, I know of a guy who's really good at doing that kind of stuff, and his name's Lee Gowan. He's right over there. And I can also help out too. So, point number four is, do I have a clear understanding of my desire for profit and how that coincides with why I do Bible study? If not, ask your Paul how profit and reward factor into the question of why I do Bible study. I didn't talk about it, but 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us that God holds each of us accountable for what we do in this life. It doesn't matter if I'm doing better or more than someone else in terms of my walk with Christ. Am I becoming everything that God wants me to be? Point number five is Bible study software can be beneficial. I would urge you to prayerfully consider investing in Bible study software that can help you along in your personal Bible study journey. But there is that free Bible study software such as eSword that can be downloaded off the internet if finances would be keeping you from purchasing a Bible study software like Logos. Number six is it's important to establish habits. Make spending time in the Scriptures a part of your daily routine as brushing your teeth. We shouldn't kid ourselves. We all have the time to do the things that we want to do. Not having time is not a good excuse. It's just an excuse. Prayerfully ask God to give you a hunger and thirst for His Word and His righteousness. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So guys, get into that Word. Thanks.